Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Today, we'll continue our trip around the Commonwealth and check in with two more state correctional institutions to learn about what makes each facility special. A little later in the show, we'll visit with Joseph Terra, the superintendent of the newest prison in our system, SCI Phoenix. But first, we welcome to the program SCI Dallas Superintendent Jason Bohinsky.
So SCI Dallas became a state correctional institution in 1966, but it got its start as something else. Can you tell us the origins of SCI Dallas?
Yes. So SCI Dallas started as a facility for defective delinquents. It was constructed under the newly formed Bureau of Corrections in 1960 at a cost of about $14 million. Dallas was used to confine more than 800 defective delinquents, a legal situation that was challenged in 1965 by the ACLU. Despite the modern programs, including broad educational and vocational training, simplified to meet the needs of that population, the concept of holding defective delinquents, some of whom had never been convicted of any crime, presented constitutional problems. The court sided with the ACLU, and in 1968, the law was formally repealed. Since that time, Dallas has operated as a medium security institution for regular adult offenders.
So yeah, that even that name, defective delinquents, sounds like a very 1940s, 50s era name, huh?
Yeah, correct.
not quite how we talk about it anymore. So since 1966, SCI Dallas has been a medium security prison. That kind of makes you one of the older facilities in our network.
It does, although the construction of the facility was the architects of the facility really put thought into the planning and the development of the facility. It's was modern for its time, and it still retains that modern feel, although we are one of the older facilities.
We talk a lot of our newer facilities that were built in the 90s. We call them the prototypical facilities. What makes SCI Dallas different than what would people would kind of see as the typical prototypical facility in Pennsylvania?
So SCI Dallas housing units are more of rectangular in shape, with the cells outside on the outside wall. So just about every cell has a window that the inmates can see out of, and the two-story construction results in an ability for the officers to have good visibility straight down the tier, and they can see the inmates as they're coming and going. As sort of a prototypical that has a layout that there's two sides to it, and the officer station is in the center. Our officer station is at one end of the rectangle.
Okay, and have there been any major capital improvement projects or anything that has changed that original layout from the 60s?
So since its initial construction, an additional housing unit and an additional restricted unit were constructed on the site to kind of bring it up to standards from when the original restricted unit was constructed. We had an addition of four modular level two housing units that were placed on the property. Subsequently, they've been taken down, and a hardened structure level two building was placed there. Also, our CI was called Mechanical Arts, was constructed after the initial construction of the facility.
Awesome. We're talking with Superintendent Jason Bohinsky of SCI Dallas. I want to talk about PCI and their programs in a minute. But first, can you talk to us about one of the specialized units at your facility, the Veterans Service Unit?
Sure. So the department recognized the need a few years back for veterans to have specialized needs in the correctional realm. So our VSU was the first in the state. And it works to ensure that veteran reentrants participate in programs to understand what reentry means to them based on their specific circumstances. Opportunities are provided to reentrant veterans to work towards overcoming the challenges of finding employment, securing housing, obtaining health care, maintaining treatment. And by participating in seminars, classes, workshops, and other resources made available to them on the Veteran Service Unit.
And there's just a sense of camaraderie from the kind of shared experience, shared sacrifice that these guys have been through.
Correct. They kind of work towards helping each other. And the emphasis is on when they were in the military and that brotherhood that they developed then kind of is cultivated now on the unit.
What was it like when it first came to the Veteran Service Unit first came to SCI Dallas, and what have you learned? Kind of what were the attitudes of the staff going in? Is there anything that as this program is expanding throughout the DOC, any lessons learned?
We've recently celebrated our 10-year anniversary for the Veteran Service Unit. Initially, staff were hesitant, to be honest, that it would work. And the veteran staff that were invested in the program kind of helped other staff to see the benefit of it, to help them understand that veterans, while they have committed a crime, do have other situations going on that are different from someone that wasn't previously in the military. PTSD, service-related disabilities, they may have played a part in them committing a crime. So helping them connect to those services and help them become successful reentrants was something that was impressed upon the staff, and to show them that their recidivism rate would go down by helping connect them to the services, help the rest of the staff understand the importance of that veteran service unit.
I think that's you alluded to it. It's a very important aspect of the veteran service unit, the staff members who are also veterans. I think a lot of people might not know that the DOC is the largest employer of veterans in the state.
That's correct. And we do our due diligence when selecting staff for that program that they were veterans. So they have that understanding and that common framework to connect to the participants to the program and help them understand, yes, you've committed a crime and you paid a penalty, but we have to get you back on your feet, and this is how we're going to do it.
Another unique program at SCI Dallas is the horticulture program. It's a vocational program for the incarcerated population there. What do they actually do?
This is a highly sought after program by our reentrants, and it has a long waiting list due to its small class size. The instructor only has up to 8 students in this class, and the reason for that is because it's so hands-on and the instruction is so in-depth that any more than that and it would get too diluted. The reentrants are exposed to all different aspects of horticulture with a focus on marketability of their skills. And we try to reinforce that with the participants in this program to say that there is a huge, huge need for people with a horticulture background in not only residential areas with lawn care and landscaping, and larger corporations who are looking for green spaces so that they can participate in those kind of opportunities as well. Our instructor also enters reentrant horticulture submissions to a local fair, ranging from floral arrangements to static plant displays. And
that's what I was going to ask. What are they actually growing? Is it food? Is it plants? Is it flowers?
So we've grown, our horticulture program has grown plants that they've sold to staff. They've grown flowers that they've sold to staff. And all the money that's raised from these sales go back into the Inmate General Welfare Fund to help with the program. They've also grown microgreens that we've sold to our food service department, and that food service has put on the salad bar for staff's consumption. Microgreens are a miniature version of plants such as peppers and parsley, but at a smaller level and the flavors more concentrated, so that it's kind of like a growing niche in like natural food stores. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to marketability of skills. So these inmates are exposed to that and they can carry that with them when they get released.
That's awesome. Those are actual like boots on the ground, employable skills that they're walking out with. I have to ask, are you growing outside in like the Luzerne County soil, or is this a hydroponic indoor kind of thing, or is it a mix?
It's all inside the facility. We have a greenhouse and a growing area just outside the greenhouse, but still inside of our institution.
Speaking of employable skills and programs, you alluded to it earlier, the correctional industries. Talk to me about your industries at SCI Dallas, the mattress factory and garment factory.
Our mattress factory is responsible for the production of mattresses and pillows for all the Pennsylvania state institutions. We also make mattresses for state hospitals. We do services for county jails, state police, community correction centers, state parks, local school districts, Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, veteran centers, and any nonprofit that would like to purchase from them. We manufacture foam, innerspring and polyester mattresses, medical mattresses, as well as pillows, curtains, privacy panels, and stage curtains.
Okay, and the garment factory, kind of a similar thing. I know you guys do not only the uniforms for the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, but also other, again, state agencies, nonprofits, local governments, correct?
Correct. Yeah, garment plant manufactures T-shirts, sweatshirts, polos, pajamas, aprons, heavy canvas bags, name tags. They do embroidery work and robes for all the Department of Corrections, state hospitals. We do embroidery work for the state police, county jails, community correction centers. Altogether, we serve 24 state correctional facilities, central office and the training academy included, Pennsylvania State Police, PennDOT, DCNR, the 12 community correction centers, 16 county agencies, 11 state parks, 4 school districts, and 4 state hospitals.
Well, it definitely sounds like you're staying busy at SCI Dallas. We talked about kind of the nuts and bolts, but I want to know what makes it special. What's your favorite part about coming to work every day?
Interacting with both the staff and the inmate population. Each day is an opportunity to work through situations that arise for both staff and inmates.
What's the staff culture like? You mentioned them a couple times there, and being one of the reasons why you come back every day. How is the SCI Dallas' relationship with the community? What's the staff culture like at your facility?
So we're situated in the northeast corner of the state in a former coal mining region where the population, the local population has a really strong work ethic. They've gotten that from their parents, from their grandparents that have lived in the region for generations. And they have that really strong service record so that when they come to work, they come here with that work ethic. And it's really something remarkable to behold. They'll come up with ways of trying to improve how the operations are. And we try to keep that open dialogue with them so that they can, you know, be comfortable enough to come to us and say, hey, we think that we could do this in this little bit better way. If there's something that happens, staff are eager to chip in and help each other out. It's really a really good camaraderie with the staff. And with our community, we try our best to be a good neighbor. The philosophy since I started has been to try to keep the facility out of sight and out of mind to the local population. I enjoy being out, and when I hear that they were unaware that we were around, that makes me feel good, because we try to be as least disruptive to everyone's life as we can be.
Thanks to Superintendent Bohinsky and the whole team at SCI Dallas. Now let's head to Montgomery County and check in with Superintendent Joseph Terra at SCI Phoenix. SCI Phoenix is one of our newest prisons. In fact, it is our newest prison. Superintendent, can you tell us how the first 6 years have been?
Trying. The first couple years, you know, coming from an older facility like SCI Greaterford, where you used a key for everything, and moving over here to SCI Phoenix, where everything is computer driven. Staff getting the knowledge and the understanding of how to operate a facility with the type of technology that this place has, you know, the first couple of years were a little rough. Staff now, it's like a well-oiled machine. Staff understand how to operate the facility, understand everything inside and out. But it started off rough, but they really evolved and we're excited for the change from Greaterford to Phoenix. And now it's become our new norm, which is,
that's interesting because I would have thought that, yeah, the minute you walk into something shiny and new, it's going to be so much better than the old way. But because Greaterford and Phoenix are right on top of each other, they share the same footprint, I imagine just about the entire staff from Graterford went over to Phoenix. They're used to doing something one way just based on the old facility that Graterford was, very old. And now suddenly you're in something, you know, state of the art and brand new. That must have been a culture shock.
It was a culture shock, and also the layout of the facility compared to the layout of Graterford. Graterford was laid out totally separate. Our housing units here are isolated from each other, so they have their own unit yards attached to each housing unit, too, in addition to the main yards that we offer. So just the layout of the facility itself was a change for staff, having to walk outside instead of being indoors the whole time that you're in the facility. At Graterford, the only time you would go outside is if you had a yard post or if you went to the restricted housing units to work. Everything else was self-contained inside.
And is there a reason why the new facility at SCI Phoenix was laid out differently in kind of that open campus type layout?
It's the new prototypical style corrections. So most of your correctional facilities are all built with this same type of layout. It actually increases lines of sight. It's more, you can isolate and contain things a lot easier. It's a lot better for the operations of an institution.
And what were some of the new bells and whistles? I know a lot of the stuff is maybe security. We don't talk too much about that publicly, correct, but some of the stuff that you can talk about, what are the new bells and whistles? What makes Phoenix special, even on its own, but especially apart from Graterford?
For me, I've only spent my entire career at both Graterford and Phoenix. So for me, this was all new also walking across here. But big things for us is we have a centralized services building, which is directly down the middle of our entire facility that feeds both the east and the west side of the facility. Inmates from the east and west were able to mingle when we first moved over here, but for security reasons, it was deemed that it was better to operate the way we are, where they're not interacting with each other, and they're each run like a facility on each side of the institution. They still run the same operation schedule, but they run just like their own facility. What's unique about us here at this facility is, you know, the number of commanders. We call them commanders because that's what controls our doors and everything. But the computers that control the doors to open and close, they're operated on the housing units, some on the floor of the housing unit and some in control bubbles on the housing units, depending on the housing unit that it's on. Our staff have, you know, still make their routine rounds, and then they open and close doors via computer, which is totally a far-fetched idea from where we came from.
And what are the benefits to doing it computerized versus the old lock and key way?
The speed in which you can do it, ability for inmates to be able to call through their door. We also have call buttons on the housing units for inmates to be able to communicate with the officer at the officer station if there's a question on inmates inside of their cell. But really, the biggest key is the convenience of the staff to be able to have lines of sight of everything and still be able to control everything from the post.
Now, you mentioned the different types of housing units that you have at SCI Phoenix. I know one of them that we're very proud of is the Veteran Service Unit. What is that, and what makes that special?
Veteran Services Unit is for inmates that are veterans of our United States military, and they do their own programming over there. They have outside resources that come in, such as military officers, active and retired, come in and work with them, along with the Veterans Court, brings newly sentenced individuals in to discuss anything going on within the prison setting, to learn from each other. It's really community driven. Our Veteran Services Unit, they do fundraisers for outside resources, clothing drives for vets, disabled vets, various things, and donate to a lot of charities through fundraisers they do. In return for them inside the facility, we also, for all the veterans' holidays, permit them to do certain things, certain events and activities that occur down on the unit. It's a self-enclosed unit that they really are prideful of, the cleanliness of the unit, the murals on the unit, and just it kind of makes them feel, I want to say more at home without using that term, but makes them more comfortable with their surroundings.
It's a different kind of vibe, right? Because of that shared experience of all the men on that unit, having served their country in some way, kind of gives them a shared reference point. And do you ever bring in the DMVA, outside entities, to kind of help these guys learn about the services and benefits available to them?
The DMVA is in regular contact with our inmate population. They come in for, I would say, if not all the events, at least 90% of the events. and they participate hand in hand with a lot of things that go on in the facility regarding our veteran inmates.
We're talking with Superintendent Joseph Terry at SCI Phoenix, our newest facility in the Department of Corrections, talking about outside entities coming in and serving the incarcerated population. I know education plays a big role at SCI Phoenix, and you have schools like Villanova University coming in and offering classes. What other educational vocational programs are you proud of at Phoenix?
Since coming to Phoenix, we actually opened up a culinary arts program. We had one at Greaterford that closed down a few years before we moved. When we first moved to Phoenix, we did not have a culinary arts program until about 2.5-3 years ago. And we got the culinary arts program up and running. And I'll tell you, the inmates that are in that program, you just see them in a different light. You see them feel better about what they're doing. You see the staff and the inmates engaged in the product. For all of our special events that occur, from graduations inside the facility to outside guests coming in for volunteer banquets, our culinary arts program are the ones that create the food.
Pause there for 1 second, if I can interrupt you. Culinary arts, that's not the same as like working in the food preparation for the facility as a whole.
No, that's a special educational program for inmates to earn a culinary arts, I guess for lack of a better term, diploma or certificate for participating and completing it. They all received their ServSafe certifications through this program. They can really walk out into the food service industry and be able to get a job. So it's actually a huge benefit for them.
So you started to talk about the culinary arts and what they do. What are some of the other educational vocational programs?
Another one is our barbers program. We have one on one side of the facility. The inmates on that side of the facility can obtain their barber license to be a barber when they return to the street and also continue barbering while in prison. And then also on the other side of the facility, for inmates that already have their barber license, we also have the inmates can earn their barber managing license. So they can go out and manage a barber shop and stuff of that nature. They're very proud, you know, even... You walk down to the barbershop, it kind of gives you that vibe of a regular barbershop out in society, with the types of conversations that are occurring down there. A lot of sports talks, a lot of, you know, just general talk. It lets them escape mentally, and they feel, you know, beneficial and proud of what they're doing, you know. And they cut somebody's hair, they say, you know, to people, this is just, you know, I like that. It looks good, doesn't it? And it's just, you just see a different sparkle in people from them doing that type of stuff. And so I would say locally, institutionally, if we're talking about vocational programming, I would say that those two vocational programs are probably really just the tip of the iceberg and where they're at and where they're going to get to. But you can really see a difference in the inmates and the staff that are part of those programs. Educational-wise, working with Villanova for our secondary education is outstanding. What they do for us and how they come in and participate and work with us on what they need to do. I'm talking to us as the institution administration on what they need to do and how we get there. They're all ears and they help us through everything and they work with us on anything we need to. I was the deputy through COVID here, and Villanova with paper coming in and out, we had to work out a way for that to come in, and they really worked with us, and it was a very unorthodox way of doing business, but they worked with us and made it happen.
That's interesting, because I heard the same from Villanova. In fact, I think it was the same paper story, just talking about getting things done and finding solutions to problems that people didn't even start thinking about till it was right there in our face. We always say that our facilities, our state correctional institutions, are kind of like a city within a city. I find that to be very true when it comes to SCI Phoenix. There's always something going on. There's always a program. There's always, like you said, the culinary arts, providing the cookies for graduation and the decorations and the maintenance. How does your staff keep the train on the track every day with everything that's going on there?
They love what they do. That's one thing I'll say about our staff here. From our clerical staff up to people in my seat. We love what we do here and we're proud of what we do. And there's really not a way we can't accomplish something. So, you know, anything before us, any type of mission that we may have, the staff here really rally and make it happen. There's always someone able to step up and do it. And it's kind of seamless. I sit back sometimes and I wonder, how do we get here? And it's really the line staff doing what they do day in and day out. And then the inmate population buying into the line staff and what they say. So I think it's kind of a community. And it's one thing that we preach here is we're a community. It's not a prison per se, the way you see it on TV. We are a community. We work on things. We have issues. We correct our issues. And the inmates, and staff are both involved in the solution sometimes.
What would be the thing that you think would be most surprising to somebody that has never stepped foot in an SCI or stepped foot at SCI Phoenix? What would surprise them about your facility?
The basic conversations when you're walking by, the way staff and inmates interact. The pride that both, I think, the staff and the inmates present to people that walk through this facility that haven't been here before. The willingness to show them what we do. The pride that comes with what we do. I think all in all, it's really the staff I think they would be impressed with us having approximately 3,000 inmates. The size of our facility, as you put earlier, the things that we do here at this facility, just that the staff are able to get that accomplished. I couldn't be happier than operating a facility with the staff that we have.
Thanks again to both Superintendent Tara from SCI Phoenix and Superintendent Jason Pohinski from SCI Dallas. You've been listening to the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. We're here with new episodes on the last Wednesday of each month. For more DOC content, check us out. We're at Corrections PA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. On behalf of executive producer Kurt Bope, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Until next time.